40 years on from the Second Vatican Council and the establishment of an Anglican centre here in Rome, Archbishop Rowan Williams will meet with Pope Benedict to discuss the current state of the Anglican-Catholic dialogue, a relationship some experts describe as a wait-and-see phase of the journey.
Yes, I think wait-and-see is the right phrase for this moment.
Father Bill Franklin has been involved with the Anglican-Catholic dialogue in the United States since the 1980s and serves as a governor of the Anglican Centre here in Rome. He explains the background to this delicate moment of the dialogue.
The visit commemorates the 1966 visit of Archbishop Michael Ramsay, the first visit of an Archbishop of Canterbury to the Pope since the Reformation. And in the course of those visits, the two churches declared that the goal of their relationship is full communion, meaning interchangeability of sacraments and ordained ministers. And there's been remarkable progress toward that goal in official statements of the two churches, leading to agreement on the nature of the Eucharist and agreement on the nature of ordained ministry. However, recently, two issues have arisen which cast a doubt over the possibility of this goal of full communion. In June 2006, Cardinal Casper flew to England to speak to the House of Bishops of the Church of England, and he said that if the Church of England moves toward the introduction of women into the episcopate in the Church of England, this goal of full communion would not be possible, and the temperature of the relationship would grow, in his words, much cooler. The wait and see is the question of whether, in fact, the Church of England will move in this direction. It's not yet evident that there are enough votes in the General Synod of the Church of England, in fact, to introduce women as bishops. Another issue is that on November the 4th this year, the Episcopal Church in the United States installed as its primate the first woman primate in the Anglican Communion, the Most Reverend Catherine Jeffert Shorey. Part of the wait and see is how will other churches respond to the elevation of a woman to be the primate of a church of the Anglican Communion in the Episcopal Church, which has been ordaining women since 1988. Wait and see. A second major issue concerns the future structure of the Anglican Communion. The problem here is that in 2003, the Episcopal Church in the United States elected and then consecrated as a bishop the first openly gay man living in a same-sex relationship with another man. This action of consecrating Bishop Gene Robinson as a bishop led to some churches of the Anglican Communion declaring that they were no longer in full communion with the Episcopal Church. In 2004, Archbishop Rowan Williams asked the communion to assemble a commission, the Lambeth Commission, to study the future coherence of the communion. And in October 2004, this commission issued the Windsor Report, which is a blueprint for a future of the Anglican Communion in which churches would act much more interdependently rather than independently. The Roman Catholic Church and the Vatican have been very positive about this structure of Anglicanism proposed in the Windsor Report. The wait and see is the question of whether all the member churches of the Anglican Communion themselves will accept this Windsor Report as their blueprint for the future.
The ecumenical enterprise is one in which we have got to continue searching for new ways of relating.
Marist Father Fred Bliss coordinates the ecumenical program at the Angelicum University here in Rome. He's just written a book called Anglicans in Rome, and he believes now is the time to consolidate all the progress of the past 40 years.
After all, the dialogue began in the 1960s, ARCHIC II concluded just last year. We're hoping that there's going to be a move into the future when the Archbishop comes to Rome and meets with the Pope in the next few days, that there'll be the opening towards the anarchic three. And so that there's always that hope. There's never an ending to the relationship. It's a question of deepening what our baptismal relationship means, of deepening our understanding of the Eucharist, of deepening what our understanding of the Church is. And for both of us, we're still on a journey into understanding those significant areas of ecclesiastical life.
Many people still see, perhaps within both churches, see ecumenism as a kind of specialist area. Is this true, do you think?
Well, I think like any of the ecclesiastical sciences, you need some people who are specialists. But ecumenism is about the unity of the Church. And if it's about the unity of the Church, then that is something we've all got to strive for. And so it's very important then for priests to preach on the subject, to explain to people that there are areas in which we can act cooperatively and join together in as many ways as we possibly can. It's got to become part of the pews and not just become part of the desk and seminaries and universities.
And yet there is a sense in some areas that whereas, for example, in the 80s, after Pope John Paul's visit to Great Britain, there was a sense of a real united search, perhaps, for this coming together. Now there's almost a growing mistrust, perhaps, certainly much less enthusiasm for this important work.
Yes, I wouldn't say so much mistrust, but I would say there has been a lessening in the enthusiasm. And the reason being is that people are confused, that if we have got these two churches with their self-understandings so firmly established, and especially the Catholic position of being opposed to women priests and the ordination of a gay bishop and so on, then it does make it difficult to keep the enthusiasm alive. After all, we do live in an age of instant solutions to things, and if we're told that solutions may be 50, 100 years or more down the track, we say, well, it's a bit difficult to wait that long.
What is your message, if you like, to people who are interested in this dialogue, in this journey together?
The great discovery I have made in the research I've done in Rome here is to discover the great importance of friendship and of trust. And this was established firmly with people like Cardinal Bayer, Cardinal Willebrands, and with the various prelates who came from Canterbury to visit here, and bishops who used to come together. Catholic and Anglican bishops would come on joint visits to Rome, because as Bishop Baycroft told me once, he was once formerly a director of the centre, he said, Rome is also our home. And if we can all see that and understand that there are great treasures that we have in common, then we can now, in friendship, learn more how to share them.
You mentioned in the light of this 40th anniversary, the Archbishop of Canterbury coming here to visit Pope Benedict in just a few days' time.
Yes.
What really are your hopes and expectations from this visit?
I would hope that there would be some level of healing of the problems that have occurred within recent times. And we know that we can't expect miracles, but we want to maintain the bridges in place. And so we don't want any cessation of a relationship. We want to get direction from the church leadership as to how we can now proceed into the future in a profitable way. And so we want a new insight into the kind of ecumenism that can help us relate one with the other. And I do have hopes. We're dealing with two very able people, Benedict and Archbishop Williams, both very capable people, have a long history of relating with other church communities, and I'm quite sure that they will at least give us a lead in the direction of a continued relationship, and a relationship in which there's going to be some positive input of a dialogue kind. In other words, hopefully an archic three.
My hope for the meeting is that the leaders will say, in the wait and see period, let us find a way to keep the dialogue going, to make sure that the relationships which were established in the 20th century do not evolve back into polemic. One of the great achievements of the 20th century was to create institutional instruments of dialogue, like the Pontifical Council in the Vatican, like the Anglican Center in Rome, which allow close relationships in the city of Rome, dialogue to continue. But how will the two leaders create an atmosphere and an inspiration for this dialogue to go on? I'm hopeful they will be, because of their own personalities, because of their own experience with monastic spirituality, which looks to forms of Christian and human unity, which has inspired both of them personally. So my hope for the meeting is that there will be a call for renewal of the dialogue, even as there's an honest facing of a new context remaining to be faced by the two churches together.
You remain very optimistic, don't you, despite these difficulties that we're talking about. What is it really that gives you most hope at the moment?
Well, part of the hope, I think, comes from the track record of these visits of Pope and Archbishop of Canterbury. For 40 years, on a regular basis, our leaders have been meeting. And that gives us a sense that the polemic of the past has now been replaced by an atmosphere of serenity and cordiality. Given the great abilities of the two leaders that will meet this week, and as a Christian, I believe the presence of the Holy Spirit in these meetings, I'm convinced that out of this chemistry of history, spirit, and leaders will become a call to a new birth of an attempt to keep the hope of Christian unity alive.